Welcome to The Word from Porter Street, the podcast in which I, Chris Phillips, report on my teaching, research, and whatever else it might occur to me to talk about. It's been a couple of months since the last installment, and there's been a fair amount that's been happening. The first thing that happened pretty soon after the last installment in late May was the American Literature Association. And that conference allowed me to see Ed Whitley present some of his new work on the business of bohemianism. Brilliant stuff. Those of you who are interested in authorship studies, definitely keep track of this project. Those of you who aren't, you'd learn a lot from listening to Ed. So everybody should pick that one up. My presentation was on Longfellow's poem Christus, a Mystery, what he considered his magnum opus, but that few people read in his lifetime, and even fewer have probably read since. But it was fascinating to see this put in connection during the Longfellow panel I was on with a study of another late collection of Longfellow's. It became very clear that in the last decade of his life, starting around the time he completed Christus in 1872, Longfellow became very much preoccupied with what it meant to be a writer, particularly what did it mean to be a writer at his time, with the racing of technological progress, economic growth, immigration, the wake of the Civil War. All these things seemed to have changed the game so fundamentally, he wasn't really sure where he stood in it anymore, or where anyone stood. And in Christus, this becomes magnified on a world stage. The concept of the work is that he's presenting the history of Christianity from its origins up to pretty much the present day. And he presents this in the format of a dramatic poem. So even as he's dealing with these sweeping, cataclysmic, universal themes, he winds up doing it in these very, very small scenes with, at times, fairly small people, with people who are not well-known, people who are not known to history. He chooses, for instance, in the New England tragedies to focus on the Salem witch trials at one point, but he focuses on a near illiterate farmer. And the reason he chooses him as the subject for his drama is because he was the only person killed for not testifying. He was never convicted of being a witch. He was convicted of not testifying. This was Giles Corey, a Salem farmer who was one of the actual victims of the Salem witch trials. As I was working through this and as I've been thinking about it, I've been very much interested this summer in the connection between the local and the universal. This has come up in my reading of sea literature, but also has been informing my project in creating a database of the early circulation records for the Easton Library Company. I'm going to talk in more detail about this next time, but just to give you an idea of what's involved here, I am working with a digital librarian at Lafayette, with a student, and with several staff at the Easton Area Public Library to create a database that would be publicly available of the circulation records for the Easton Library Company, the first public library in Easton. It was a subscription library, but still it was the first one available to any kind of public. This was started in 1811, so pretty early in the town's history, and the circ records continue from there to 1862. So over the next year or so, I'm hoping that we'll be able to transcribe and digitize those and make those available for people to search with. Right now, we're working through making sure that the catalog is ready to go into the database. And this is what I will talk about next time, has already yielded some pretty interesting findings. But now I'd like to close this installment by reading a poem by Herman Melville in honor of his birthday. Today, August 1st, is Melville's birthday. And often his poetry is downgraded because his fiction is so strong that people feel underwhelmed when they get to the poetry, or they just feel confused because, as it turns out, this poetry is not made to be reader-friendly, but is made to get readers to wrestle with it. And because of that, it's difficult to read a lot of this poetry out loud and have it work as a recording. But one of the few that is famous for being a pretty poem. Melville doesn't tend to write pretty when he's a poet, but when he does, the results are impressive. This poem is called Shiloh, a Requiem, from 1864. from his first published collection, Battle Pieces, about the Civil War. Shiloh, A Requiem, April 1862. Skimming lightly, wheeling still, the swallows fly low over the field in clouded days, the forest field of Shiloh. Over the field where April rain solaced the parched, one stretched in pain through the pause of night that followed the Sunday fight around the church of Shiloh. The church so lone, the log-built one, that echoed to many a parting groan and natural prayer of dying foemen mingled there. Foemen at morn, but friends at eve. Fame or country least their care. What, like a bullet, can undeceive? But now they lie low, while over them the swallows skim, and all is hushed at Shiloh. Well, that concludes this installment, and until next time, may you find good words, and delight in the words that find you.